Don Tammer here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you so much for joining us again today. As always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, honor, praise, and worship, and everything in and of ourselves to the Father of our forefathers, Yahuwah El, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yahushua HaMashiach, sitting at our Father's right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Hallelujah. Hashamayim Mesaprim Kevod El, Uma'ase Yadav Magid Harakia. The heavens declare the glory of Yah, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about here. We're reading to you from Velikovsky, and why? Why are we talking about these things? Because if you've been a listener of ours for any length of time, you know that what we always endeavor to do is try to get you to look outside yourself. So we want you to look out all the way into outer space and understand the glory that's up there, and that is, you know, we will be seeing him again in the actions that he does in the heavens. And we're going to read you some scriptures to prove out just exactly what he does in the heavens and how he uses the heavens to enact his justice.
His judgment and his cleansing the earth that he's going to bring upon this earth. And this time it's going to be by fire is the way he's going to destroy and cleanse the earth and burn up the tares before he takes out the wheat. Read your scriptures. Make sure you get things in order properly. And we talk about heart matters a lot on Paradigm Shift. Why? Because if you look up the word heart in the scriptures, you're going to find that that's what the entire book is about. We were kicked out of the land because we not tend to the matters of the heart. And our wisest king that we've ever had, man king, that he gave to us when we rejected him and asked for a king was Solomon. And he asked for
discernment so that he could rule his mighty people. And he wanted to discern between good and evil.
So he could discern between good and evil. And he wanted.
There's something severely lacking in our culture today and in all of the world today. Discernment is gone out the window. Nobody wants to discern anything because they just want to get together. They just want to hang out.
Well, it's heart injuries is the issue. And if we have heart injuries within us, then everything around us is much bigger than what we think. And we believe it to be everything of the universe.
Yep.
So once you get your heart matters cleaned out, and while you're doing that, if you will turn your eyes and your ears to the heavens, where he says that his word goes out day and night throughout the entire earth and penetrates all cultures, languages, everything, you will begin to see a bigger picture than yourself.
That's right. So we're asking you to look into the wide expanse of the heavens and to understand the earthly witness, get way, 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 way outside yourself. And then we're also asking you to go deep, 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 deep within yourself. So that why? So that you'll quit looking at the people around you as your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And start understanding that those fingers are actually pointing back at you.
Yeah.
And then we can find peace. And then through that, we can actually come together in unity. It's only through that type of cleaning out and being aware that there are things much more important than ourselves that we can actually start to appreciate one another and live with one another in righteous and right ruling.
Then our problems seem to be real handleable by the creator that created the entire heavens and all the universe and all the plants, all the seeds, all the animals, every bit of it.
And
we were actually thinking and talking about this morning that we're going to probably develop a two-sided mirror. So that when we do have issues and we want to point our fingers at others, what you do, or if someone's doing that to you, is you hold it up between you two so you see on your face on your side of the mirror and they see their face on their side of the mirror. Look into yourself to find your problems. When you start pointing your fingers, you got three fingers pointing back.
That's right.
Who are you and what are you up to is the question to answer every single day and to keep it under the subjection of Yeshua HaMashiach, the living Torah, made flesh, our King, who rules this entire universe and meets out the blessings and curses exactly according to that Torah law that will flow from that Mount Zion when he comes back and returns and sets up our office kingdom on this earth again.
And when we get cleaned out, we find out we don't have to be all mushy-gushy nicey, nicey to everybody who's abusing us. We can actually draw a boundary line and stand in it.
You do not get to abuse me.
Mm-hmm, and then we also find out that we have no, that we learn that we don't have the desire to abuse others anymore. We can get those thoughts under control, and we actually can walk in a true righteous heart, a true loving commitment to one another.
And Abba says he's the only who can understand the heart. No one can. Only he can. That's why Solomon was wise enough to ask for that perfect wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And then he was given everything else. So let's read
Romans. If we can't identify what's in us and how we abuse others, we're getting no closer to our Father in heaven.
So Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, both his everlasting power and mightiness, for them to be without excuse, because although they knew Elohim, they did not esteem him as Elohim, nor give thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened."
Hallelujah. It's all about the heart. If you don't believe it, do an Esau search on the heart and read every single one of the scriptures that you find from that Esau search. You're going to find over 800 of them. I can't really remember right off the top of my head, but I think it's around 800 plus.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And then,
right before we go into this, we're going to be reading Velikovsky again. We're going to be starting on chapter 2. It's going to deal with Yehoshua, the time of Jericho, and also the destruction of Sennacherib's the Assyrian leader of our army, the King Sennacherib, or however you say that.
Sennacherib.
The lightning strikes, the plasma bolt lightning strikes, and the meteorites that came down and killed, the 175,000 some odd soldiers there. So this is part 4 in the series of Worlds in Collision from Emmanuel Velikovsky's book, Worlds in Collision, by the same name. And you can listen to this, you can listen to previous shows. You can go to HebrewNationOnline.com and you can get the previous shows. I'll have them all linked up there right in order so you can listen to parts 1, 2, and 3. And this is part 4. And you also can go to Podomatic and you can look up Paradigm Shift and you can find all of our shows and past shows.
And you can get in touch with us. You can request the newsletter that we put out once a week, and you can request any of the papers that we offer by getting in touch with us at petranch@dishmail.net or Todd or Tamara at HebrewNation.net, and we'll do the best we can for you.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to read some scriptures now from Isaiah. What we're trying to prove out here is that what happened in Genesis 1, where it said in the beginning, Yahuwah created the heavens and the earth came to be formless and empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the waters, and then from there he recreates, he redoes it again. So he had an earth, and then the earth became formless and empty. Okay? And so something happened to make that happen. Well, if you go on through scripture, you will find Velikovsky's book just screaming at you. In other words, we're going to read from Isaiah now. There's three places in Isaiah we're just going to go ahead and read from. It shows you that he has every intention of doing it again.
And if you look at the first few verses in Genesis there, in Hebrew, you're going to find, especially from this one book that we did a series of shows on, Planet X,
Sign of the Son of Man.
Sign of the Son of the Man.
Doug Caldwell.
Okay. He broke it down in the Hebrew, and what you're going to find is a cosmic catastrophe of huge proportions occurred to make the earth formless and void.
And I don't even know if we ever got to that.
Oh yeah, we never got to the Book of Job. you just never know what you're going to hear on this show, and we don't either from week to week.
Right.
Praise Yah, because then we get real boring. But anyway, it's all in there. It's all in there, Mishpacha. There's over 1,800 verses on this stuff in the scriptures. And if you learn how to use Esau, you can get it free off the internet. Look it up and start searching the scriptures yourself and seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Okay, so Isaiah 2:5, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Yahuwah. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they have been filled from the east and practice magic like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of the foreigners.
Okay, who brought in the black magic from the east? Well, our sorcerer kings did it, and we did it ourselves, and we accepted it at the time of Hosea.
We
were kicked out of the land.
Draw a line at our gates and say, you shall not pass. We didn't have any boundaries. We didn't have discernment between good and evil.
Because our hearts got crooked and broken because we started marrying in with other gods
and not holding each other accountable.
That's right. We didn't want to do that. That's too tough, and most people don't want to do that. They don't believe that that's what the scriptures are about today. We all just want to gather for the sake of gathering and then play our songs and our our you know, sing and dance and tambourines, and then have our great sermons and all this and that.
Our own eggs.
And our own eggs. You know what Abba says about that? He cannot stand the sound of corrupted hearts making music, because your frequency, even though it sounds good to you, it does not sound good to Abba.
He knows what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. He knows how nasty and ugly the heart is, so he could care less about what your voice and your instrument is doing, or what you're doing in your little meetings. What he cares about is there anybody who can stand in perfect loyalty to him and expose the unfruitful works of darkness, convict them, rather than having fellowship with them.
And it's as simple as putting your arm around somebody. If you get your stuff, worked out in your heart, you can see what's going on in other folks, and you can see they're struggling, and you can tell they're not going to want the answers when you're going to say it. But if you do it gently and you say it to them, whatever the result is, and you do it without fear, you may so-called lose them. They may cut off relationship with you, but you've done the right thing as long as you do it across in love. Sometimes it requires a firmer hand, a stronger hand when somebody's in abject rebellion, but that's few and far between. Most of the time you can rock a whole person's world just by the simple vision of your understanding, if you've been working your heart matters, the discernment that you've been given, because you're a man or a woman too. We all have different issues, but we all react to them the same way. We do manipulation, black magic, and sorcery upon one another. We try to control others in order to make them into our image, or if they won't do what we want, then we're going to go away and find some other group that we can get together with that will.
True peacemaking.
Division is an abomination.
Yeah, true peacemaking is calling out the truth and standing in it, even if you're all alone in doing
it.
That's
right.
That's true peacemaking. That's the true peacemakers that shall inherit the earth. The rest is peacekeeping, and it's disgusting. It's cold. It's walking the middle of the road. That's
it's
the
empty.
Worst place to drive.
Yeah, it's empty.
Okay, go on. And their land is...
Oh, wait, I want to say about that. Sorry.
Oh.
Is that coming from the east, that what we had? We had the British invasion come into the United States of America back in the 50s and the 60s. What came with it? All the doing, 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 doing. All the Eastern religions that are totally, wildly confused. There's only three monotheistic religions on the planet, and that's who the Pope was getting together in Israel for 3 days while they're preparing for war at the same time against Syria and the Ukraine, causing a two-front war situation with Russia, so that they can go into Syria and attack.
And they're
and
only
the
getting together because they already made the deals, guys.
They already made the deals.
Don't
they don't,
be sucked
they
into this
will
drama.
Not, that's right. And so the rabbi that met with him, and they're either completely disillusioned, they're totally on board, and if you're going to meet with the Pope, you've got to be a black magic sorcerer, my friends. And then also, and so in the imam, or
you
the
don't get to,
Palestinian,
you don't
Mahmoud
Abbas. You don't get to be at the head of anything without having joined in with their elite in their
Boom.
League. You're not a world leader if you are not a part of
you're
all
gonna,
of their rituals and their corruption.
You're not going to have hugs and kisses with the Pope and Israel and the land and all this and that, going to the tomb of David and hiking your leg on that as the satanic church and the satanic rabbi heads and the satanic Palestinian or Islam heads there together.
Once you do your research and once you look at history, you cannot help but see the reality
Bill.
That the world is a stage in front of you.
And
nothing even is real anymore.
True.
They're playing you
like
a fiddle.
Their dates for the Pope's date for arrival is all numerological sacred geometry and astronomy, satanically driven. Every one of the dates, how long he was there, he's the second Pope, you know, to get there 50 years later. And where do they go? They go to the Mount of Olives, the place where Yeshua was supposedly went up into heaven. Here comes the Pope and he lands there. 50 years ago was Pope Paul the Sixth. And he was the first pope to go on an airplane flight and the first pope in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to make the trip to Israel. And where did he go? He goes to the Mount of Olives. What are they saying? They're saying that the new spirit, that their Godhead over this earth, they are the representation of God. We all know that about the Vatican and the church. But what they're really setting you up for is the king to come. That's why they went to King David's tomb. And it's related with Prince William and his trip down to Australia. He took his little Princey George the Sixth, took little Princey George to the place in England. I'm forgetting it right now. You need to listen to the Spaceman shows that we post up. He goes through this very well and tracks every one of these guys' steps, so you know the sacred geometry and the eight Sabbat satanic quarters that they
drama.
Were working on. You see the whole entire drama, and it's actually really poorly written once you understand and how they acted out. It's pathetic, actually. But anyway, they took Prince George, Prince William, and Kate. They took Prince George to a particular place in England that has, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, that's all about King David and what was the guy?
It's all in space, man.
Yeah, I know, but what is the... King Arthur, it's all Arthur associated. Those legends are all related together so that Prince William can come back. And, of course, they did their little unga bunga at the King David's tomb there with the Eastern Orthodox Church. They're joining everybody back together. They're going to raise up a king out of that House of Windsor to be, and the Pope itself, he's the...
False prophet.
Very good.
Yes, and you will get the details on this from Spaceman. If you will listen to those shows, you can hear the details.
You have to.
So here it is. And their land is filled with gold and silver, and there is no end to their treasuries. And their land is filled with horses. There's no end to their chariots.
Yeah, city
their
of
land
London.
Is filled with idols. They bow themselves to the work of their own hands, to what their own fingers have made. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the dread of you and the splendor of his excellency when he arises to shake the earth mightily. When he arises to shake the earth mightily. And in that day, man shall throw away his idols of silver and gold, which they made for themselves to worship. They're going to throw it to the moles and the bats and go into the clefts of the rocks, into the crags of the rugged rocks, because the fear of Yahuwah and the splendor of his excellency when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for what is he to be reckoned upon? And then it goes on, that was Isaiah 2, and now here's Isaiah 13. They are coming from a distant land, from the end of the heavens, even Yahuwah and his weapons of displeasure, to destroy all the earth. Howl, for the day of Yahuwah is near. It comes as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands go limp, every man's heart melts, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow take hold of them. They are in pain as a woman in labor. They are amazed at one another. Their face is aflame. See, the day of Yahuwah is coming fierce with wrath and heat of displeasure to lay the earth waste, just like Genesis 1:1, and destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations do not give off their light. The sun shall be dark at its rising, and the moon not send out its light. And I shall punish the world for its evil, and the wrong for their crookedness, and shall put an end to the arrogance of the proud, and lay low the pride of the ruthless. I shall make mortal man scarcer than fine gold, and mankind scarcer than the gold of Ophir. So I shall make the heavens tremble, and the earth shall shake from her place in the wrath of Yahuwah of hosts in the day of his displeasure. And it shall be as the hunted gazelle, and as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man turns to his own people, and everyone flees his own land. Isaiah 24 says, see, Yahuwah is making the earth empty and making it waste, and shall overturn its surface, and shall scatter abroad its inhabitants, and it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the female servant, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so as the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, and as the creditor, so with the debtor. The earth is completely emptied and utterly plundered, for Yahuwah has spoken this word. The earth shall mourn and wither, the world shall languish and wither, the haughty people of the earth shall languish, for the earth has been defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the Torah, changed the law, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore a curse shall consume the earth, and those who dwell in it be punished. Therefore the inhabitants there shall be burned, and few men shall be left. The new wine shall fail, the vine shall languish, all those glad at heart shall sigh. The joy of the tambourine shall cease, the noise of those who rejoice shall end, the joy of the lyre shall cease. No more do they drink wine with a song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The deserted city shall be broken down. Every house shall be shut. No one enters. There is crying for wine in the streets. All joy shall be darkened. The gladness of the earth shall be gone. The city is left in ruins, and the gate is stricken with the destruction. For thus it is to be in the midst of the earth among the peoples, like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the grape harvest is done. They lift up their voice. They sing of the excellency of Yahuwah. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Therefore, praise Yahuwah in the east, the name of Yahuwah, Elohim of Israel, in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we shall hear songs, splendor to the righteous one. But I say, I waste away, I waste away. Woe to me, the treacherous betray. With treachery, the treacherous betray. Fear and pit and snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear falls into the pit. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit is caught in the snare. For the windows from on high shall be opened, and the foundations of the earth be shaken. The earth shall utterly be broken. The earth shall be completely shattered. The earth shall be fiercely shaken. The earth shall stagger like a drunkard, and it shall totter like a hut, and its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not not rise again. And in that day it shall be that Yahuwah punishes on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth the sovereigns of the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and be punished after many days. And the moon shall blush, and the sun shall be ashamed. For Yahuwah of hosts shall reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his elders in esteem.
Hallelujah. Glory be to Yah, Elohim of all things. Hallelujah, creator of the universe.
Yeah, we're going to get right to some Velikovsky so we can relate it, and then we'll do another show and read you more Velikovsky.
Yes, coming up soon here. Chapter 2, this is 52 years earlier is what this little section is titled. The pre-Columbian written traditions of Central America tell us that 52 years before the catastrophe that closely resembles that of the time of Joshua, another catastrophe of world dimensions had occurred. It is therefore only natural to go back to the old Israelite traditions as narrated in the scriptures to determine whether they contain evidence of a corresponding catastrophe. The time of the wandering in the desert is given by the scriptures as 40 years. Then, for a number of years before the day of the disturbed movement of the earth, the protracted conquest of Palestine went on. It seems reasonable, therefore, to ask whether a date 52 years before this event would coincide with the time of the Exodus. In the work Ages in Chaos, I describe at some length the catastrophe that visited Egypt and Arabia. In that work, it is explained that the Exodus took place amid a great natural upheaval that terminated the period of the Egyptian history known as the Middle Kingdom. There, I endeavor to show that contemporary Egyptian documents describe the same disaster accompanied by the plagues of Egypt, and that the traditions of the Arabian Peninsula relate similar occurrences in this land and on the shores of the Red Sea. In that work, I refer also to Beck's idea that Mount Sinai was a smoking volcano. However, I revealed that the scope of the catastrophe must have exceeded by far the measure of the disturbance which could be caused by one active volcano. And I promise to answer the question, of what nature and dimension was the catastrophe or this series of catastrophes accompanied by plagues? And to publish an investigation into the nature of great catastrophes of the past. Both works, The Reconstruction of History and The Reconstruction of Natural History, were conceived within the short interval of half a year. The desire to establish a correct historical chronology before fitting the facts of nature into the periods of human history impelled me to complete Ages in Chaos first. I shall employ some of the historical material from the first chapters of Ages in Chaos. There I use it for the purpose of synchronizing events in the histories of the countries around the Eastern Mediterranean. Here I shall use it to show that the same events took place all around the world and to explain the nature of these events. Okay, the next one is, this next section is entitled The Red World. In the middle of the second millennium, and we have red water, waters and rivers and lakes turning red all over this planet right now, so listen closely. In the middle of the second millennium, before the present era, as I intended to show, the earth underwent one of the greatest catastrophes in its history. A celestial body that only shortly before had become a member of the solar system, a new comet, came very close to the earth. The account of this catastrophe can be reconstructed from evidence supplied by a large number of documents. The comet was on its way from its perihelion and touched the earth, first with its gaseous tail. Later in this book, I'll show that it was about this comet that Service wrote, non igneo sed sanguio rebuo, it was not of a flaming, but of a bloody redness. One of the first visible signs of this encounter was the reddening of the earth's surface by a fine dust of rusty pigment. In sea, lake, and river, this pigment gave a bloody coloring to the water. Because of these particles of ferroigneous or other soluble pigment, the world turned red. The manuscript of the Mayas, there's a manuscript of the Mayas that tells that in the Western Hemisphere, in the days of a great cataclysm, when the earth quaked and the sun's motion was interrupted, the water in the rivers turned to blood. Okay, Ms. Picasso, we're running out of time as usual. And we will get into detail in this more so in part 5. So keep looking up everything, Mishpachah, and keep cleaning those hearts out. Hallelujah.
You shall not make for yourself the image will bow down to them. You shall not bring the name of the Lord your Elohim to naught. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.